Thanks for joining us today at Heart of the Savior Ministries. And while I'm opening up today's program, why don't you go grab your Bible and pen and paper? Now, wait. And as we are going, we're going to have a number of really important resources to share with you. But before you go, do this. Turn up the volume so you don't miss the opening. Ready? Radio up. 1, 2, 3, go!
Go.
Over the past year, we've had the privilege to have Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries join us to help us traverse a very challenging topic, the eschatological, which we've talked about saying words correctly, so I had to do this phonetically, eschatological last days or end times data in God's Word. And if you want to hear more of what has been shared previously, go to our website at heartofthesaviorministries.org and click on the broadcast tab and then select any of the programs that Dr. John Swanson and I have done. And we don't want to scare anyone away, so I need to let you know that Dr. John and I have answered lots of questions received from our listening audience, and we've had some fun along the way, too, giving pop quizzes to each other. But the whole focus is to help you, as Christ's followers, be prepared and endure as God's Word says these very precious and momentous days in our history and lives. And I think it's exciting. I really do. But I have to admit, there was a time when I, too, was afraid, you know, thinking of the end times, let alone reading the book of Revelation. But thanks to Dr. John, my humblest thanks, sir, for bringing such good biblical teaching on this subject to us. Well, I want to open with Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29 to set the stage for this conversation today. So let's turn to God's Word. I hope you're all back. Okay, here we go. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So did you hear the authority in which Jesus spoke? It says they were astonished at his teaching. So maybe we should be astonished too.
Even in his youth, our Lord astonished the temple teachers. We wish to confidently share God's truths in similar manner today.
So, John, tied to this, I've noticed a change of demeanor and tone in your recent blogs. Do you have a specific reason for this paradigm shift?
For clarification purposes, Leslie, so as to better assure that we're on the same page, just what change are you discerning, if I could ask?
Well, you often speak in a more tentative manner in your teaching ministries, but recently you've been approaching your discipleship ministry in a more thus says the Lord tone, which to me means, hello, pay attention, this is important. Am I correct in discerning this?
Actually, yes, Leslie. You are most correct in noticing this change. There are many reasons for this intentional move on our part, ones which we can't completely cover in this broadcast, but we can introduce some of the major warrants for this adjustment at today's session. And given the importance of truthful prophetic appeal, can we do that today?
Oh, I think we really should.
Okay. Well, for years, we have been careful in making a distinction between declaring the actual content of the Word from that of declaration of an end-time position that emphasizes interpretation. Interpretation which is either correct or incorrect. Well, in other words, there's a difference between Bible truth, actual Bible data that we observe from the text, versus interpretations of Bible passages which may or may not be true.
Well, and we've covered some of this in a broadcast on hermeneutics in July and August of last year, 2015, actually.
We did.
And folks, hermeneutics is a science of interpreting the theology of religious concepts. And I think you're wise in making a distinction in this matter these days due to the frequent efforts to misinterpret or distort the Word of God.
Yeah, correct hermeneutics or correct interpretation of Scripture is vital, for we cannot afford to misrepresent the biblical text.
No, we can't.
These are most crucial topics indeed. But another radio session on the allowing the Bible passages to say what they actually say is for another
time.
Dear
Yay!
Sister, yes, sometime down the road. Amen. Well, in this session together, let's, yes, better answer the question of change of tone, presentation tone of late. So,
all right,
let me jump into it.
Go forward.
We're moving into a more frequent thus says the Lord mode for many reasons. And so let's touch upon two in today's broadcast. We believe, first, we need to communicate urgency on these end time events currently unfolding in global culture, and we wish to do so in a more authoritative way, given much of our ministry efforts are founded on Bible truths. And second, while we still continue to bring less than certain appeals due to interpretation steps, which are included in the building of any end time view, we also believe, number two, it's time to be making certain, that is, more sure appeals based on the explicit content of the Word. As a result, we continue to herald facts tied to end time Bible prophecy, truths which include, well, the first couple waves of end-time Bible prophecies, many of which are taking place today, as opposed to more tentative appeals.
Well, and we're referring to a couple past broadcasts we did earlier this year, and two that come to mind were February and August. So again, folks, go to the website, heartofthesaviorministries.org, click on that broadcast tab, and look at the past programs and pick those up. You really need to listen into those if
yes,
you missed them.
They're helpful. They're God-honoring. And
God-honoring.
Yeah. Well, in addition to these broadcasts, one can find a helpful summary, summary blog of the End Time Bible Waves at currentmatters.org. So just go to that archive blog page, which posts blog B1116. And folks, you can find this blog on the first quarter 2016 archive page.
I'm really glad you mentioned your blogs, and folks, write it down. It's currentmatters.org to read these blogs. Okay, so let's stay on task.
Okay.
What you've said so far in past broadcasts and so far today is that it's most important to make both tentative prophetic appeals in light of God's word and more thus says the Lord appeals given the urgency of our present cultural climate. And while you continue to make these appeals that are less certain but viable, You're now making appeals in a more certain voice, I see, in a thus says the Lord voice when it's appropriate to do so.
Yes, Leslie, and I think I could say that's a good summary at this juncture. What's crucial to all of us is what the Word of God has to say, not human opinion. As a result, we're moving over to a mode that will be making more authoritative appeals. So let me give an example.
Oh, thanks. I think that'll help our audience understand better.
Examples are good.
The examples are good.
Well, in recent blogs, we've been making factual appeals as to end time Bible chronology. For example, we've been stating that certain end time Bible passages are being fulfilled today. These are factual appeals that few Bible believers deny. We've also been addressing end time themes. The theme of unrighteousness abounding today, for example, is only one of many of the cultural oddities taking place this new millennium. Culture is actually acting satanically when one considers the character qualities of the devil. And this is only one case in point. There are many things in current culture which fulfill other end-time Bible predictions which address both end-time chronology and end-time themes.
You know, and I have to think back here because a little bit ago they were warning people about the San Andreas Fault, you know, swarm of earthquakes and the big one was coming. So could the factual statistics concerning recent earthquakes and the growing number of adverse, you know, global conditions be included in this list of prophecies being fulfilled today?
Well, and recently Hurricane Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Leslie, they sure can, especially those tied to the birth pains predictions.
So can you help us grasp a better discern, I should say, the difference between thus says the Lord things and the more tentative things you also communicate in your present ministries?
Okay. It is a fact, yet to take place, mind you, but it is a fact due to the accuracy of God's word. Now listen carefully here. It is a fact that the covenant of Daniel 9 will take place before the return of Christ. And this includes the rapture event, Leslie. The scriptures are explicitly clear on this. So one of our thus says appeals of late is just that. Well, during this time when we're making this capital T truth appeal, we are also offering a less certain appeal, and it's this. It is our more tentative belief that the making of this Daniel 9 covenant will actually take place before the close of 2026. As a result, some of our interpretive presupposition on our part, we personally believe the making of this Daniel 9 covenant will happen sometimes this next decade, but we do not present this specific appeal in a thus says the Lord manner. The projected timing of this event, that is, that it will take place before the close of 2026, is a more tentative appeal which we're making given some of the assumptions within the declaration. While we do have justification for making the more thus says the Lord appeals, we also make less than certain appeals as well. As a result, in light of all this, we personally believe these appeals but confess the timing of the making of this Daniel 9 covenant, that is, before the close of 2026, is not explicitly stated in Scripture.
Well, I'm really thankful you make these distinctions, because many Bible prophecy speakers do not state when they are making a personal belief claim as opposed to a thus says the Lord appeal. So for clarification purposes, John, could you give us another example which distinguishes between this thus says the Lord claim versus the more tentative ones?
Yeah, that'd be a good thing to do. Well, to illustrate, allow me to use past prophetic appeals on my part, okay? Ones that we've made through Endurance Ministries. Is that...
Okay, warning. Warning, warning. Uh-oh. The red flags are going up here. And if people could see me in the studio, they'd see me waving my arms like that robot, you know, the Will Robinson. Warning, warning, Will Robinson. Sorry, I guess that kind of dates me. But I'm going to tell you to go for it, John. But don't forget, here's the warning. There are biblical parameters tied to discerning those who make false prophetic appeals. And I know you don't want to find yourself in this camp.
No, Leslie, I sure don't.
Okay.
So how do I avoid this? I stay focused on the emphasizing of what the Word clearly states. By the way, in similar appeal, we need to affirm God's counsel regarding the qualities of false prophets, because there are today many false prophets who have made false appeals and are thus not to be listened to according to biblical counsel. Yet, sadly so, people continue to receive their dangerous, incorrect counsel. Oh, okay, Leslie, here's another example as to an emphatic, thus says the Lord, appeal versus a more tentative one, okay?
All right.
For quite some time now, I've been saying on an almost daily basis, my wife sometimes gets tired of this, but on a regular basis.
Hello, Miss Nancy.
I've been saying, quote, the rapture event will not take place today, unquote. Now, I make this, thus says the Lord, statement on the basis of His Word. The degree of certainty of this claim is high due to the basis or foundation upon which the claim is being made. It's based upon His explicit Word. In fact, Leslie, I'm going to make a prophetic appeal, a thus says the Lord appeal at this time. Okay, you're sitting down.
I'm sitting down.
The rapture gathering of the saints in Jesus Christ will not take place this year in 2016, nor will it take place in 2017.
Can I quote you on that, John?
Yes, you can, as long as it's understood that this prediction is a prophetic statement based on God's written chronology in His Word, not my opinion.
But if you end up being wrong, by your very admission as to what constitutes a false prophet, John, if the rapture gathering does indeed take place this year or next, we should consider you to be a false prophet, correct?
Yes, if my prophetic declaration is shown to be wrong.
Okay.
That is, if the rapture of His church takes place this year or next, then I should be labeled a false teacher, a false prophet. But, Leslie, this is only one side of the hypothetical coin. The other side of the coin is this. If, on the other hand, the rapture event does indeed fail to take place this year or next, as we forecast, what I did make by way of a prophetic announcement needs to be accepted as accurate. It needs to be acknowledged as such, namely, that our thus says the Lord claim was actually correct. The rapture did not take place in 2016 or 2017.
Well, if the rapture did not take place this year or next, would the accuracy, that is, the fulfillment of this prophetic claim make you a true prophet of God? I'm really putting you on the spot.
Well, that's a great question, Leslie. And in light of the full counsel of the Word of God, I would need to say no, not necessarily. See, we need to evaluate the full message of those who would bring thus says the Lord appeals, and we need to do so, that is, bring evaluation in light of, yes, the full counsel of God's Word. So if I was accurate on this specific prophetic appeal that I've just made, but then went on to, for example, direct people away from the one true Creator God, then on the grounds of biblical truth, I would be a false prophet. But, and here's where I emphasize, but if I continue to proclaim Bible truths accurately and with God-honoring motive, namely that the mindset that I'm coming from is simply that of an ambassador of Jesus Christ who doesn't want to make look-at-me pride-based claims. Instead, I make biblical ones. Well, then if I do that, folks should at the very least go to Scripture to see if these things are so in light of present global events.
Well, and I love the way that you just said that. And I just did a program on the Trinity of God and had to explain a biblical perspective of what a true prophet is in that program. And I said, as a test, if the predictions of a prophet come to pass and they were glorifying to God, the prophet was then authenticated as one sent by God. But I want to come back to you and what you just shared. So, John, you're not coming at this with a big head then, and I don't mean that disrespectfully.
Well, no, that's important to discern, too, because motives are huge. Absolutely not, Leslie. Before God, I say that to the listening audience, to you, in answer to your question. It's God who has gifted his church with the honor of proclaiming his truths forever settled in heaven. And I am, by God's mercy and grace, willing to be one of the many heralds toward that end, unto his glory and praise. That's our intent in all our ministry appeals, is to glorify Father God and his glorious Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Okay, let's stop in for a minute and ponder what you've been saying. And I know I'm the kind of person that needs to process these things many times. And today is one of those for me. So I have to assume my listeners too.
Okay.
When you make "Thus says the Lord" prophetic appeals, John, you claim they are based on the clear word stated in Scripture.
Yes, and folks can test this in a simple way. Instead of belittling or rejecting what I'm saying right off the bat, we are encouraging folks to do the biblical thing, to test what is being proclaimed by going to the Word of God to see if the Word actually teaches these things. This is a fair, most Word-honoring, most God-honoring, God-exalting appeal, we believe, Leslie.
Well, and it's scriptural to test things against God's word. And if they don't match up, then they're not from God. Hello.
Yeah.
But I caught you here.
How so?
The word, how so? I love it. Okay. The word does not explicitly say the rapture will not take place in 2016 or 17, but you're saying in a "Thus says the Lord" manner that the global rapture of his saints in Jesus Christ will not take place this year or next. Don't you have a problem here?
Again, Leslie,
I'm having so much fun today.
Question. It's your turn firing the questions. Huh? Well, here's my, let me put it this way, since its title is such, our program today anyway. Here's my "Thus says the Lord" response. First, the Scriptures say no one knows the day or the hour of his return. I affirm this Bible truth.
Amen.
Secondly, the Scriptures also teach the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him will be preceded by, number one, the apostasy, the falling of the way away from the faith, and number two, the revealing of the man of lawlessness or the man of sin. I affirm this Bible truth as well.
Amen.
From 2 Thessalonians 2. And third, our Lord teaches, especially in Matthew 24, Mark 13, etc., our Lord teaches explicitly recorded in the Word that there are certain things which follow the tribulation period. Number one, astronomical signs will take place. Number two, the heavenly sign of the Son of Man will take place. Number three, false prophets and false Christ, who do impressive signs and wonders, they will make appeals that our Lord says that we are not to follow. And number four, the global gathering of the elect will then take place. I affirm these teachings of our Lord as well.
Amen.
Well, yeah, so on the basis, on the grounds, on these grounds and other explicitly biblical data, I then go on to make this prophetic word-based statement. Here we go. Quote, "The initial appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ and our rapture gathering together to him will not take place this year in 2016 or in 2017, unquote. This is a prophetic, "Thus says the Lord" pronouncement based on the Word of God.
And your tone of heart in all of this is honestly what, John?
Well, I recently responded to an email from one who wrongly charged me with pride, kind of a look-at-me attitude, implying that my motive in my ministry efforts was self-exaltation, self-promotion, etc. But this is not my emphasis, Leslie. So I responded to this guy in this way. I said, William, your charge of me-centeredness on my part is sincerely incorrect. I then went on to state in reality from where I was actually coming. So I kindly stated that by God's grace, I don't bring these appeals claiming to be anyone. My appeal, I told Will, was not to gain a personal following, but to follow the shepherd who is the one who we follow, and to give him glory and praise for his kind and generous counsel to us as to how we should be living during these days prior to his glorious return. So my appeal in sum was this: the messenger is not the emphasis. It's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ that is what's important. That's what matters. So in answer to your question, Leslie, my heart tone in all this is one of urgency, given the signs of our times, but it's also emphatic. It's true. And it's one of humility, love for God, and love for humanity. It's not about us, Leslie. It's about our Creator Savior who cares so much for us that he sent us a love letter, his word, in order to save us from the eternally consequential dangers of our day. That's my motive in all this, sincerely so.
Well, and I think I'm better seeing from where you're coming. And since we need to wrap up for today, I asked, do you have one concluding appeal in all of this?
Yes, Leslie, I do, and I've made reference to it already in the broadcast today. It's actually a message we've been communicating for decades now, and it's this. Friends who seek truth and who desire helpful divine counsel through these valleys of the end of days, please go to his word for insight second to none. Eternity matters, and these days of the end will actually determine our eternal state given what will take place this next decade. So go to our websites, which list the many end-time passages. In fact, I would encourage you to go to currentmatters.org, where our blogs post Bible reading schedules on a quarterly basis, not to mention and develop the posting of other most helpful end-time insight. So, folks, the charts and visual aids on this site are so helpful. So, yes, please take advantage of these quality, we call them discipleship tools, by visiting currentmatters.org. These resources are free, but they are not cheap, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're actually discipleship tools tied to our following our Savior.
You know, I think that's wonderful. And folks, you really do need to check out the blogs. There are such amazing resources there for you so that you can determine in your own mind your belief of what is to come. We're not telling you that you have to believe this way. And hopefully you test everything against God's word. That's the whole thing. Test everything against God's word. Then you know you're in the full will of God, right?
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And in a recent blog 4216 on the current weekly blog page, actually lists some of our best handouts that we've done over the last couple decades. So we've really kind of tried to compile some of these and put them in one spot for people's convenience.
Well, and just quickly, people can send you questions. How can they do that?
The best way is email at endmin.org. So that's email at endmin.org.
Which stands for Endurance Ministries.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Well, once again, John, our time's come to a close, and today's program certainly has some surprises in it for me. But at least no pop quizzes. I got to give them all. But I also know that what you have shared today was from your heart for our listeners to help them finish this race well and in the full honor of God's word. So, John, thanks again for bringing the truth that matters and for caring so much about God's children that you've committed your whole life to this, to help us see and understand God's word, the Holy Bible. And it's because of our listening audience that we can have guests like you here. So, folks, consider being a monthly supporter of this ministry so that we can continue bringing these top-notch people. So we hope you go refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's word the every breath that you take this week As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson, and my guest, friend, mentor, friend, and troublemaker,
hey,
brother in Christ, Jesus, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.